Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year as long as we can get on the air. It's 2:15. What the heck?
So how long are we going here?
Be of good cheer. Thank you very much.
Welcome, the late Andy Williams.
Welcome inside the playbook for a Thursday here. It's our final show before the Christmas holiday next week, and we're glad you're with us on Patriots.com radio today.
And before the Mayan apocalypse.
And that is going to be part of our discussion today. Because the Mayan apocalypse allegedly is tomorrow, 12/21/12, right? It's the end of the Mayan calendar,
yeah.
Which everybody assumed.
A long count calendar.
Yes, which everybody assumed some 5,000 years ago would mean that the world would end on December the 21st of 2012. I think it just means that I don't think the Mayans figured that civilization would go much further past that, that we'd probably all, you know, eat each other alive or something.
Really? You think that's what it was?
Well, I mean, what other explanation do you have? I don't know that this was a real, you know, apocalyptic prediction as it is. It's kind of like,
maybe
okay, 5,000 years is enough for humanity to survive.
Or maybe the calendar maker just got lazy
tired.
And got tired. And
yeah,
so
maybe,
it's like, oh, someone
maybe,
else can pick
maybe
this up.
Maybe he didn't get enough corn nuts in his pay.
Maybe.
I don't know. What was it? At any rate, because allegedly tomorrow is the end of the world, I would like to first of all say it's been nice knowing you.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. And second of all, the question of the day is if you have one sports wish, sort of along the lines of, you know, Christmas holiday,
yeah,
you know, gifting,
yeah,
and all that kind of thing. If you had one sports wish that you have not yet accomplished, that you wish you could accomplish, what would it be?
Hang on.
But I want though our listeners today to sort of think about this for a moment. And it can be any sport. It can be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to deal with football.
I have a question.
Yes, you may.
Does that include putting yourself into the action?
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is a wish.
Okay.
I mean,
anything,
you know,
goes.
It doesn't have
anything
to really,
goes.
It doesn't really have to deal in reality. I mean,
a wish.
A wish is a wish.
Okay. That's...
If you have a realistic wish, I think that's great.
Yeah.
For instance, I will give you mine shortly.
Okay.
That I have a realistic wish that I have not yet accomplished that I would very much like to accomplish, but if the Mayans are right, I won't get a chance to do that.
Okay.
So I do have a wish.
So it can be reality-based or fantasy-based?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All things check.
All things on the... Hell, it's the end of the world, man. All
okay.
things are on the table.
Who's going to make the fantasy ones come true, though?
In your brain, in okay. your mind. You know what? You know, when you go off to the next dimension or wherever it is that we're all going tomorrow, who knows? Who knows what's possible?
Okay. Well, that's true.
Right?
Maybe the creator will come down and say, before... We go.
Those of you who
have a wish.
Those of you who have aired your grievances.
Right.
You get to go to the front of the line. Kind of like the whole Festivus thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, for the rest of us.
Festivus for the rest of us. All right. So that's what I want you to think about first and foremost today. The other thing I want you to think about today, in addition to being Prediction Thursday, and I assume that it's going to be one-sided, so if you want to throw out a prediction about Pats and Jacksonville this weekend, you may do so.
Just try to get the score right so
yeah,
you can get a...
Yeah, because we have had nobody, I mean, nobody predict the score right this year, which means we have given away no Patriots yearbooks, no media guides. And we said all along this year on every Patriots Prediction Thursday here on the playbook that if anybody predicts the score right, you're going to get one of these books in the mail. It'll be a great gift. Great, you know, holiday gift, you know, for yourself or for, you know, that Patriots fan that you know. So today's your last shot to do that before the holidays. And if you want to predict the score, and you're going to predict it, if you predict it correctly, then by all means, you'll have an opportunity to get one of these books. So webradio@patriots.com is the email address. webradio@patriots.com. Call us up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Again, it's 508-298-0398. But you should already know that. It should be emblazoned on your forehead or ingrained in your brain, something like that, because we say it enough. 508-298-0398. You may also go Facebook. John.Rook is the address. Took a couple of new friends in today, Patriots fans. So good. Happy to have you along. John.Rooke if you haven't submitted the friend request. And on Twitter, @JRBroadcaster. You can do all of the above or none of the above, but if you want a shot, you've got to predict on Prediction Thursday. It's that simple. We also want your sports wishes. If indeed tomorrow is the last day that we're all here on Earth, what's the one thing you have not accomplished sports-wise that you want or wish you could accomplish? How's that? Does that work for you today?
Yeah, sure.
All right. And the other thing I wanted to ask today is Christmas gifts, sports-wise, sports-related Christmas gifts, good ones and bad ones. What has been a really good one you've received? What's been a really bad one you've received?
It's going to be a good show,
if you've
John.
Got any good ideas.
Yeah.
If you've got any good ideas for Christmas gifts.
Because there's still time, maybe.
There might be.
There's still time, maybe.
Just in the event, I realize we're all dying tonight or tomorrow, but just in the event that the Mayans were wrong,
yeah,
you still got to take care of your duties and buy for your loved ones for Christmas next week. And if that is the case, what's a good suggestion? What's a bad suggestion? What have you received that's been really great, you thought was a cool idea? What's something you got that is kind of like, seriously? Really? That you thought was just dumb or stupid?
These are good show topics.
Well, I just,
why
not?
Very good show topics.
It's the holiday time of season. Yeah. It's the end of the world. Let's combine the two today. I just thought that'd be a good idea because, frankly, do you really want to talk about Jeremy Mincy and the Jacksonville Jaguars defense?
Hell no.
I didn't think so. I really didn't think so.
Give me my score prediction right now. 20. Assuming we're in Jacksonville.
Assuming we're in Jacksonville because you might be someplace else. That's true.
20-3, New England.
That low scoring?
Yeah, because they're not.
What is it with you and low scoring lately?
Well, because
you picked 18-15 last week, no touchdowns at all in that game, and it was 41-34.
Okay, so, I was wrong.
Oh, well.
I was.
Bravo!
Wait a minute.
Bravo!
Wait a minute. I've always admitted when I'm wrong. I'm always the first to do so, John.
All right. Okay.
It's unfair. Don't go all PFW in progress on me here. That's not right.
Which one? Am I Andy or Paul or Fred?
All three.
Oh, come on.
When you do
my head's not as big as Andy's.
Oh, you had his helmet on yesterday. It's pretty big. That thing fits you tight.
It is big. It was tight. That's very true. That's because I actually have brains in my head.
Well, yeah, it's filled with something.
Yes,
right. The hot air that's
in very
Andy's.
True.
I say it's low scoring this time only because I don't think they're going to put their foot on the gas pedal on this one. I think they'll do just enough to win when they get comfortably ahead.
You think they let off
a little bit?
Well, that would be 20 points would be a lot more than just a little bit. I don't think they let up until they get into the 30s. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they do.
But I also don't think they're going to throw the ball a hell of a lot because Tom Brady threw the most passes he's ever thrown in a game a week ago.
All right.
And I think they want to give Stephen Ridley a little more confidence, give him the football.
That's reasonable to assume.
Time-consuming drives. There won't be a lot of time to score.
That's reasonable to assume.
So that's where I'm going with.
I know I told you guys at the end of the show, I said 42-6. I don't know that the Patriots get that far unless they get like a special teams and or a defensive touchdown.
Possible.
But I would still say at this stage, I'm going to go about 28. Realistic score be about 28-6. That's what I think.
So not much more than I thought.
No, not really. Because I just bank that they don't get the special teams and or defensive touchdown. Four touchdowns. One a quarter, nice long drives, just kind of like take the wind right out of them, and then that's it. Do your business and get out of town and get home for the holidays.
1 o'clock game, let's get the hell
if,
out.
Of course, they're there at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we do have that. We do all have that to
we
consider.
We have that, that disclaimer, that qualifier.
Disclaimers to consider. Okay, so that's kind of what we have today on the agenda. The other thing that I wanted to bring up here is what you just mentioned about Jeff Howell, the Boston Herald. The fact of the matter is that Rob Gronkowski, Logan Mankins, Gerard Mayo all finished first at their positions in the fan voting for the Pro Bowl. Brady finished second behind Peyton Manning. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not. Only because I think there's a goodwill sentiment that people in general have for Peyton Manning, people who follow football have
just
for
because
Peyton
of
Manning,
his right.
Because I think they like Peyton Manning as a guy more than they like Tom Brady mm-hmm. as a guy. I think more people are jealous of Brady because he's, you know, far better looking than Manning. It just gives off that air that he is different from other people, whereas Manning has this sort of every guy kind of quality, or at least tries to manufacture that in his public image. And I think most people buy into that, and I think Manning gets a lot of that benefit of the doubt more so than Brady.
I will repeat what I said here yesterday, that I do not believe Tom Brady will be the MVP.
I think that
if they had won last week, I think that he had a solid opportunity to win it. But even though he threw for 400 and some odd yards and 65 passes, and it's not going to happen because they lost the game. I'm not convinced that Manning's going to win it, and I think a lot of it will have to do with AD does against the Houston Texans. If Adrian Peterson comes out and, say, puts up two bills against the Texans defense,
I'd say Adrian Peterson is
probably going to be right there.
Because as integral as Brady is to the Patriots and as clearly as consequential as the Manning signing was to turning the Broncos around, the Vikings aren't in the playoff hunt if Adrian Peterson's
on there's
this
no
team.
Way.
Not
there's no
at
way.
All.
Not even close.
And if he gets to 2,000 or even, I mean, he's already near 2,000, which is brilliant enough as it is. But if he even comes close to breaking,
and what's the record again for Dickerson?
21
something, right?
Change.
And
yeah.
He's got 2 weeks left to do it.
Yeah, and he needs about 150 yards
a game
on average
to
for
do
the
it.
Next two games, and that's not out of the question.
He's got a shot.
And if he does that,
I think he's a slam dunk, right?
I think Peterson should get it.
Yeah. So, at any rate, we did talk about that yesterday, and I thought it was worth talking about today, the fact that Peterson looks like he would, be a strong candidate, because he's a story in his own right. Like we talked about yesterday with Peyton Manning, the story aspect of his comeback is really what people like to center on and thrive on, and the NFL loves a good story, and there's just not a real story surrounding Tom other than the fact that he's, you know, winged the Patriots to another successful season. He's not coming back from, you know, six neck surgeries like Peyton had, nor, right. you know, a second reconstructive knee surgery like Adrian Peterson has.
Right.
And those guys have not only come back like that, but they have excelled and led their teams to their respective fortunes. And you put an exclamation point behind Adrian Peterson if they beat the Houston Texans, you know, to stay alive in the playoff chase themselves.
Yep.
But then you bring Houston back down to earth. And if you're a Patriot fan, you hope that Minnesota can beat Houston, quite frankly, because mm-hmm. that still gives you a shot at a bye going into the last week. Right?
Mm-hmm.
No question. They can't be knocked out this week unless they lose the Patriots. The only way they can be knocked out of the bye talk is if they lose Sunday in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, you certainly want to root for the other things to happen. I mean, I think we all realize that Cleveland beating Denver is a long shot. And it's a longer shot even next week for that to happen. But if Houston loses and then Indy beats Houston, you're going to slide into that two spot.
Mm-hmm. The only thing you can really hang your hat on is that in this league nowadays, there are no dominant teams.
No, that's true.
And so
that's very true.
You can't be surprised by any result ever, whether it's a bad team beating a good team or a good team blowing out another good team. You can't be surprised by anything in this league anymore.
Very true.
So if Cleveland goes to Denver and knocks off the team that's won however many they've won in a row, you shouldn't be surprised.
I would not be surprised. Let me take that back. I'd be mildly surprised. Not stunned, not shocked, you know, not upset, not anything like that. But I'd be mildly surprised because Denver has everything to play for. Cleveland has nothing to play for. And in that regard, sometimes teams do catch up on you. You know, Cleveland has played better of late. So, I give them a puncher's chance. Beyond that, I don't know. I would give Kansas City no chance the week after that. simply because Denver would have a bye anyway, so they're going to have a chance to rest their guys, so there's really no reason for them not to play everybody, you know, against Kansas City in that last game.
Yeah, the only thing you have to worry about in that game is potential free agents of the Chiefs who are trying to show off for other employers.
Yeah, and how much of an effect does that really have? You know, you got to wonder, right? Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch on with you here, E, is, and by the way, Russell Baxter will be joining us in the second hour of the program, like he always does here on Thursdays. But I can't let it go without saying something about what's going on in New York with the whole Tebow, Sanchez, the whole circus.
The three-ring circus?
Three-ring circus.
The Big Apple circus?
Continues to roll to the point where I think Rex Ryan was actually playing into it a little bit and recognizing the ridiculousness of it all by saying yesterday, actually earlier today, by saying he was asked who he'd like, you know, to see his quarterback. And his quote was, I'll be honest with you, if I had Tom Brady, I'd be happy with that.
Rex Ryan said that.
As much as Rex Ryan has hammered the Patriots, as much as Rex Ryan has, you know, hammered Bill Belichick and hammered Tom Brady and hammered all of us, and we've hammered back, which certainly plays into the whole nature of the rivalry, today he said, I'll be honest with you, if I had Tom Brady, I'd be happy with that. We don't, but there are only one or two other guys at that level. And he mentioned Drew Brees and Peyton Manning. And, of course, Brady, Brees, Manning, not available.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Mark Sanchez, the Jets say they're going to shop him, which I think is laughable because everybody knows they're trying to shop
him. Who's going to want him?
Who the hell's going to want him? A, who the hell's going to give the Jets what they think is even close to any worth because he was a first-round top five draft pick?
Well, the Jets might be so desperate to get rid of him, they'll take anything.
Well, that's obviously they're saying that now. They're saying that now. I mean, would you give a fourth-round pick up for Sanchez? Would you give a fourth-round pick?
It depends on what my starting quarterback situation is. I might trade for him if I feel settled at starter and I just have nothing behind me. Maybe. That's a maybe. Mm. You really would have to have no options on your roster.
Because Greg McElroy has been told now he's going to start this weekend for the Jets, this also and now has put Tim Tebow squarely on the block. Tebow has even asked for, and I don't blame him, he's already asked for either a trade or to be outright released. Yeah. My guess is he'll come closer to be released than he will be traded because I don't think he has any value. And I don't blame him because he hasn't really gotten an opportunity, and the Jets are not going to give him an opportunity.
No.
And I don't even know why the Jets took him in the first place, which to me is one of the more laughable moves of the entire season.
So let me pose this question, and I mean it. I am entirely serious when I ask it.
All right.
If he's released, do the Patriots show interest?
Yes.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly, because I don't think they were just flirting with him during the draft. I think they felt they could do stuff with him.
I think that they could do some things with him
that the Jets clearly
cannot.
Or did not.
Want to do. Mm. And I think what you also have in that instance is you have an ability to have a backup quarterback in case, God forbid, something happens to 12
quarterback.
In an emergency situation where, and you could continue to bring along Mallett or whomever else you feel like can be the alleged quarterback of the future. Now, Tim Tebow at this stage has got to be just looking for a job in the pros. He has to realize that his future as a potential starter in this league is probably nil.
Probably passed. Yeah.
It probably passed nil. Yeah. So does he want to stay in the league? Does he still want to play pro football, or does he want to go off and do whatever it is that he wants to do? And I think that's the question that you have to ask Tim Tebow. But if he is released and Tim Tebow says, hey, you know what? I really just want to play football, then I think the Patriots should take a gander.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow, we agree on that.
Yeah, why not?
I actually think we agreed on this earlier this season when the Tebow subject came up. I think we talked about it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, I don't know how you feel about that, Pats fans, but whether or not you think he'd be available, if he is available, whether or not you'd take a gander at him as well.
And that's exactly how I would use him. He's your emergency quarterback, third quarterback, but you use him more creatively than the Jets did.
Right.
In goal line, short yardage packages. Because clearly, I mean, Urban Meyer did it with him at Florida. I mean, he was their starter at Florida. But they used him in creative ways, nonetheless. The Jets wasted their opportunity.
One other thing about Tebow. Why do you think Jacksonville never made a real effort for him, and do you think they still might?
I think they did make an effort for him. I thought the report was that Tebow turned them down.
Was that what it was?
I thought the report was that it was came down to the Jets and Jacksonville, and Tebow was offered the choice, and Tebow said, I think I'm better off in New York.
Yeah, but he didn't even get a chance to replace Sanchez. Sanchez,
but I think he was thinking
Sanchez was miserable this year, and he didn't even get a chance to replace him.
But I think people thought Rex was going to give him the chance earlier, expecting Sanchez to suck as badly as he has this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tebow doing kind of what he did in Denver and getting the endorsement deals and all the other stuff that come with playing in New York.
Interesting.
That's the report anyway. I mean, we might never know what actually happened behind the scenes, but that's, I believe, what was the story when the trade went down.
All right. All right, let's get to the phones. Again, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. A lot of things on the table if you're just tuning
good
in today
topics.
Here in the playbook, right?
Good topics.
First and foremost, your wish for the Mayan apocalypse, a sports wish that you didn't get to that you really wished you had.
Reality or fantasy-based?
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Either one.
Either one.
And if you have both,
or
that's fine,
both.
Too.
Yeah.
That's fine, too. And good and bad sports gift ideas.
Yeah, great.
I really am trying
great
to dig
topics.
Into this today because, frankly, I need a little help with someone that's really difficult to buy for. Yes, I do. Not a female. I've already taken
okay.
care
I
of the
I was going
to
say.
No, I've already taken care of the female.
Yeah.
She's all set.
Oh, really?
She's all set. I am a boyfriend.
Listen to the show?
Sometimes she does.
So don't trust it.
No, no, I don't trust
it. Well, tell me off the air.
I will. I will. And I think you'll agree. Yeah.
You did good?
I done good.
You done good.
I done good. Okay? I done good. All right. Well, let's see if this guy's done any good. Derek, the University of Arizona.
Clearly. Oh, please. You don't even have to ask.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Big D?
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Derek, serious question. When are you graduating?
Serious question.
Yeah.
Probably next December or next May.
Next December or next May?
Yep.
As in May of 2013 or May of 2014?
Well, 2013. No, I guess, yeah, May of 2014.
How many? I kid you about being there for 6 years,
but how the hell long have you been there? This guy is truly John Belushi in Animal House.
When the hell did you enroll into that school?
It depends on, I've only been
It doesn't depend.
For,
when did you start?
Years.
Oh, my God, Derek.
It's because I transferred in and then I changed my major, so it took me a little time. Don't give me any of that attitude, Eric.
Wow.
I'm giving it to you.
Whoa.
I only have 24 more hours left to give it to you, so.
Yeah, that's right. We all are going tomorrow if you hadn't realized that, Derek, so.
Yeah, well, you know, at least I go out, you know, I haven't reached the degree level yet, but, you know, if the Mayans were right, we don't have to worry about it at all.
See, because I thought you were going to say you were graduating this December, and then I was going to say, well, the world really is coming to an end.
Yeah, no, that would be a miracle.
Really? It would be just like Derek
it would
say,
be just
hey,
like this.
I'm graduating next week.
All right, that's it. We're done.
And then he doesn't get a chance.
Nothing.
Just throw in the towel at that point.
Oh, that's perfect.
Man.
I love that.
You guys kill me.
All right, what's on your mind, big fella? Do you have a sports wish that you didn't get to before we all perish in flames tomorrow?
It would be to not work with you guys.
Wow!
I think that would be number one.
Come on!
Not to work with us?
Not to work with
us.
That's
a sports wish?
That's a sports wish.
We've been giving you
well,
that.
I mean,
we've been granting that wish forever.
I wasn't able to.
Wow.
I wasn't able to.
Okay.
Right.
Fair enough.
Yep. That would be number one.
Okay. Thanks.
But yeah, I'm actually packing and flying out to Boston tonight.
Well, you better get here before the earth opens up and swallows you.
Right. Right, that's the plan. I fly in about 10:30 Eastern, so
okay.
I'll make it with about an hour and a half to spare.
All right, very good.
But best sports gift would be from my father last Christmas Eve, front row Patriots side on the 50-yard line, the Dolphins game.
That wow, that's significant. That's big time.
Yeah, it was the first game I'd actually been to, you know, the new stadium, which is great, and. And the other good one was the Total Patriots book. That's a great book to have.
Nice. Nicely done. By the way, it's not really a new stadium anymore. It's 11
well,
years
yeah.
old now.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay, I just wanted you to know that.
But I would say the worst gift in sports would probably be a Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez jersey right now.
No, actually, I think a great gift for a Patriots fan would be the Sanchez jersey that says butt fumble on the back. I saw somebody wear that.
Really?
I saw somebody wear that jersey at the last Jets game, and they showed a shot of it.
Oh,
and then I've seen it. I've seen it tweeted, and I said that's hysterical.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That would be an unbelievable.
I
that's an unbelievable gift for a Pats fan or even a Jets fan. I mean, I think that's somebody that I think that's something that everybody could agree upon would be an outstanding gift.
Wow, for a Patriots
for a Patriots fan too. Butt fumble.
Yeah.
Oh, <boy.
laughs> Good Lord.
Oh, wow. My. I love having fun at their expense. It's too bad that it all has to end tomorrow.
They are an absolute debacle.
I know.
I'm in a you know, like a pool where you, like, pick your, you know, pick the teams each week. And I picked the Jets to win last week. And I'm watching the game. And I at the end when Sanchez and Nick Mangold kind of just fumbled that snap, I just laughed. You couldn't do anything else.
All right, fair enough.
Well, I'm trying to think what else we had to hit here. Prediction would be Patriots 34, Jags 13. That's kind of what I said at the beginning.
Okay.
Although, Eric, I could kind of see your prediction you gave on PFW. What was it, 23?
20-3.
I could see that something like that, and I could also see something crazy if the Patriots, you know, wanted to run it up. I don't really see it being very close. To
yeah,
them.
I don't see a lot of
pretty much in agreement.
I don't see a lot of excitement for this game, just all around, you know. Most of you know, it's mostly a foregone conclusion. The season's coming to an end. The Jags have nothing. It's just let's get it over with. It's a formality.
Right. No. Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, I just wanted to say, you know, happy holidays to you guys.
Thank you, Derek.
I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it up and see you guys. I'll be there till the 1st of January, but I'll be in touch.
We'll be here next Wednesday and Thursday if you can come by the stadium.
Yeah, I'll have to see. I'm also going to the Dolphins game week 17.
All right, there you go.
We'll have to figure something out, but... Anyways, yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, kind of give all that and just wish you guys a happy holidays.
Same to you.
And
travel safe.
I'll talk to you guys soon, all right?
Absolutely, all right. And travel safe, like Derek said. Thank you. Derek at the University of Arizona forever.
Yeah, he really is.
He'll always be the Derek at U of A. He always will be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he'll be, you know, 10 years from now, if we're still doing this, he'll still be Derek from the University of Arizona.
Yeah, he still might be there.
He might be. Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia will always be in Valdosta. Right, Al?
That's right, even though it's the end of the world
as we know it. That's right. It is.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
So what is...
Patriots by 9.
By 9?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Listen, fellas, just in case the end of the world does come tomorrow, and somehow you're able to survive and I'm not, but somehow that becomes a selective thing, although you wouldn't think it would be, but let's just say, I want you to know, you're welcome to my autographed copy of the Spirited Patriots of 76, signed by Steve Grogan.
Oh, okay.
That's all yours.
Nice. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But if we all die in, you know, a fiery explosion or something, then it really won't make any difference, will it?
No, well, I guess not. Okay. But I wanted to know what I was thinking about you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As you know, seriously, as far as if you're looking at the sports gifts, you know, back in the day before there were videotape highlights, for the Boston fans, there were a lot of these audio highlights of particularly good seasons, Celtics, Patriots, Bruins, Red Sox, whatever, that were on these LPs that came out, the Impossible Dream record you might have heard about. There was a Patriots record, Spirited Patriots. There was Havlicek Stole the Ball was a Celtics record. And this outfit called Fleetwood Records in Lynn, Massachusetts, made these records. Well, they're all out on CD now. So if you have like an old school Boston fan and you're looking for like a little stocking stuffer, you go to their website, check it out. You can order, I think there's 9 of them total of various seasons that somebody might like.
Okay.
You know, just a suggestion. You're looking for a sports.
I am. I'm trying to let it all sink in.
Sports fan gift suggestions. I think there would be one of, if you're of a certain age, I suppose if you're, you know, under 50, you probably don't care about those teams back then, but, well, you know, maybe you do.
Eric's one of those, but I'm not, so there you go.
You know, well, It's just a thought. As far as, you know, a sports type of thing that I haven't done that I'd like to do.
Yes.
That's doable.
Yes.
I have been to a Summer Olympics, but I have not been to a Winter Olympics. I would like to go to a Winter Olympics.
Where'd you go to the the Atlanta Games?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it was just so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Winter Olympics I've not been to yet, and I really like to check one of those out.
That would be very cool. I would love to go do that myself. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would be what I would select in this instance, but it's a good choice.
Yeah, sure.
It is a very good choice.
Sure is.
Yep. You know, one of the things that I love about the Winter Olympics is I actually love watching the bobsled racing because I think that's pure and unadulterated craziness.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Herschel Walker tried it.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he was in the Olympics, wasn't
he? Yes. He was on the Olympic team. I believe he was, yes.
But, you know, you were mentioning about Tebow, and yes, I agree with both of you. I think that would be, depending on the money and what
it wouldn't cost much. Yeah, I don't think it would cost them much.
Yeah, I can't imagine it costing much. I would be willing to say Tebow or Michael Vick, whichever one.
Oh, no, not Vick.
I'm not bringing Vick in. First of all, he would be way too much of a distraction because I'm sure he still feels like, and I'll wager there are other teams that feel like he could be a number one guy. So I'm not bringing him in, and then I'm sorry.
I also hate him on a personal level.
Yeah,
I have a hard time
getting over that. I realize everybody deserves a second chance in this life,
but
I don't personally have to favor
him. He got his second chance.
He got his second chance.
In Philadelphia, that's fine.
Right.
He doesn't.
Right.
I don't want him anywhere near my organization.
I just don't think that would be a fit here where I think Tebow would be a fit.
And
well,
I don't,
he got his second chance as a starter. I admit that. I'm not counting on him as anybody's starter, but... You know, I think it's a possibility as a veteran backup. He'd be in the veteran backup department at this point. Again, depending on money and your situation, I think he can still play some football.
Yes, he can.
We're not arguing with that.
We know he can.
I don't want him on my team.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right.
The other 31 teams can have him. I don't want him.
Right.
Then we just disagree on that. I do want to go with Tebow or Michael Vick. But I think Tebow, especially, like you said, in short yardage and goal line, and I don't know why the Jets didn't use him in those particular roles.
Stupid.
You know, this year.
Yeah.
But short yardage and goal line, you would think it would be hard to beat Tim Tebow in that situation.
I would love, Al, to see Josh McDaniels have a chance to game plan Tebow in somewhere.
He might not be here to do that.
Well, that's true. We know that. He might not be, but I mean, obviously, we know that a lot of things still have to take place for that to transpire in the offseason. Still, I would love to see that opportunity, and I'd like to see the Patriots put in a wildcat package. I'd love to see them use him as an H-back because, you know, they do like to have that. And hey, let's put him in there in short yardage situations and put him in as the fullback. If he can
there
do it,
go.
Why not?
Absolutely. I think you really get a lot of bang for the buck out of Tim Tebow in the right situation. I just don't understand what they were doing at the Jets. Like, you know, they'd have the ball around midfield after maybe they made a first down. Sanchez would throw a pass for 5 yards out to the sideline, and then they'd roll out Tebow for a play.
Yeah.
And then he'd throw an incompletion or run for 2 yards, and it was third and three or something. They bring Sanchez back in. I just never really got what they were trying to do. I don't know who were they trying to trick somebody? What was the point of that? Did you guys ever figure that out?
I don't know.
No, not really.
That doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. So, you know, I think if you put him in a situation, give him a role and say, this is your job. That's what we do kind of on the pads, right? You know,
we
do your job. So we define your job and do your job. If we do that with him, I think you can get good results with Josh McDaniels or whoever else. I mean, I know he has that connection with Josh from Denver. It wouldn't necessarily, to me, it wouldn't necessarily have to be Josh McDaniel if you define his role properly. There's not a lot of secrets in pro football. I don't think, as much as I like Josh McDaniel, I don't think he has a monopoly on some kind of magic playbook that's so different than anybody else's. It is a copycat league. I think somebody else would be perfectly capable of figuring out what to do with Tebow, given the right circumstances. But anyways, given the coming up to the last 2 weeks here, I don't like the chances of Denver losing either one of their games at home.
I know.
But I think, honestly, if you follow me here, the chances of Houston losing both of their games, I think, are actually slightly better than the chances of Denver losing either one of their games, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's got Adrian Peterson to contend with this week, and then the last game of the season's on the road at Indianapolis. Maybe the Colts need that game for a particular reason.
Well, maybe they need it for a potential, you know, division title.
Are they still in contention for that division title, the Colts?
If the Texans lose here, I think that they are. Are they not?
Okay. I thought the Colts wrapped up the division.
Yeah, no, the Texans wrapped up the division.
They did.
I mean, I'm sorry, the Texans wrapped up the division. Yeah, I thought they did when the
they're 12-2
when they won last week.
They're 12-2 and
and the Colts are 9-5. That's right. Yeah. I kept thinking they had four losses. Yeah. My mistake.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So look, the Texans have that division, but the Colts might still need the game for some reason.
Yeah, they might make
the playoffs or whatever. And so I mean, the chances are slim, but you know, that's one ray of hope for Patriots fans. I would think if we can somehow get the Texans to drop both of these games, we could still sneak in there as the number two anyway.
Yep.
To
right.
You know, to Denver, assuming that Denver wins both of their games. If they were, of course, you know, if you had a magic wand, you'd love to see Denver lose to Cleveland. Maybe would be the best chance of losing a game would be to Cleveland, and then you'd still have a shot at the number one overall.
Correct.
I just think whatever happens, we're going to win these two games. And it's just up to how much help do we get from other people, which is, you know, you hate to depend on that, but that's just where we're at, unfortunately, after Sunday.
Right.
Sunday was just such a weird game. That's one of the weirdest games I've ever seen. I mean, to think of all the goofy plays that happen, all the turnovers, near turnovers, big plays for both teams, and all that stuff basically boils down to one blown kickoff return coverage.
Yep.
Decided
it's
the
true.
Whole game.
It's very true.
You know, that was the play of the game. That was a failing to cover that kickoff.
We spoke about that at length yesterday, Al. At length.
I bet you did. I bet you did. You know, I mean, you just can't take a play off. In the NFL, I mean, that's just how good the league is. You just can't take one play off, and unfortunately, I think we did. But anyways, fellas, have a great holiday.
Thank you.
Glad to call you, and have a great. I don't know that I'll be able to call next week, but I'll get you.
Well,
before the end of the season.
If we've all passed on, then we understand. Don't worry about that.
There you go. That's right. We might not be calling anybody. It's been nice knowing you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Big Al.
Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Big Al.
Oh, boy. God. He seemed a little too anxious to
I
laugh
know.
That off.
I was about to say, I'm like, okay, does he know something we don't? Michael sent this on Facebook. He says, John, there was lots of talk about how the Patriots might still get a bye. I think you forgot to mention there's still a chance for your game show playbook, and that's a big reason for your excitement.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Just think, the listeners to playbook still have a chance to learn valuable trivia.
Yep.
And earn some great prizes.
Yes.
You might even get some ideas for the show when you talk with Russell Baxter.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Well, yeah.
So, see, there's plenty to root for in terms of the playoff bye, because then we'll get a playoff bye edition of Game Show Wednesday.
Oh.
I know.
Totally forgot about that.
Wouldn't that be sweet?
Yes.
Definitely be sweet. I'm not holding my breath, though. All right, Kat in Chicago. Hey, Kat, you're in the playbook.
Hi, John. Hi, Eric.
Hey, girl. What's going on?
Not too much. I figured I'd give a call. I have a good gift idea for you.
Go.
Have you ever seen the America's Game box set?
America's Game?
Have you ever seen the show?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's fantastic. I got it for Christmas. I received it for Christmas a few years ago, and they're all great. Except the Giants.
You
can throw away. But,
yeah, you can throw that part out. You can use those as coasters.
Yeah, but it's a really great set. I would recommend those, or I don't know if they're doing like a Football Life or any of those as a set yet. But I always love those. So.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one. The Football Life one would be a great idea if they did that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good one, too, to have. You know, because those have all been very
done. Along those lines, the ESPN 30 for 30
for 30 things, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the football-related ones. But, yeah, I think you can actually get those, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah. I think
the 30 for 30s, I think you can.
Yeah.
Right. Good
if
stuff.
If you look on Amazon, I'm sure they have them.
I would wager that's the case, absolutely. Now, yeah. Kat, what's the one thing that you wished you could do that you're not going to be able to do because of the Mayan apocalypse tomorrow?
If we're going to talk sports stuff, I don't know that there's anything I'd want to do, but something I'd like to see would be I'd love to see another Triple Crown winner at some point, and I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So
you mean a base? Oh, you mean a horse racing
horse
race, one?
Right? Horse racing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you want to be there, like for all three?
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely would. I've
That's a good one.
A number of the failed Triple Crown, because I used to, you know, being in Connecticut, it was easy to take a quick trip down to Belmont.
Yeah.
So I saw Marty Jones. I want to say a Fleet. No, maybe not a Fleet, Alex. Marty Jones, Funny Side, and one other that were all going for the Triple Crown. And
I like
didn't
that.
Make, so.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
it would be fun.
That's a real, real good one. All right, very cool. What are your plans for the holidays? What are you and the hubby doing? Anything special?
Yeah, we're going down to see his family in Indy, so that'll be fun.
Good. Make sure you you root for the Colts against the Texans.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
I am.
All right.
I don't know if Eric told you I met the Colts tight end Dwayne Allen.
No, I did not know this.
And did you get to meet the other player?
I did. I got to meet Andrew Luck too. But
really,
I'm kind of more partial to Dwayne. I got to say.
Oh, so Wayne does it for you, huh?
He was so sweet. He was just amazing. I had a real nice chat with him and everything. And
were you wearing the librarian glasses?
I was.
Oh,
it was at the library.
It was at a library, John.
Wow. Then I totally get it. I get it. He's a smart man. Young man.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
He was really nice. I was introduced to him. It was for a commercial, and I was introduced to him at the beginning. And about 3 hours later, he came back up to me and said, "So, Kat, you know, how are, you know," and was talking to me and everything, remembered my name, made it a point to come over and say hi. And
that's very impressive.
Yeah, really nice guy. So
very impressive.
I always root for them.
Does your husband have anything to worry about?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. All right. Just checking. Just checking. We're trying to look out for him around here.
Dwayne's too young for me anyway.
Ah, okay. All right. Gotcha. Well, I don't know. We could call you Kat the Cougar. You never know.
Oh. Terrible, John.
Kat, I hope that you have a marvelous holiday. You and your husband
travel
safe. Yes, please.
Yes, thank you. You guys too. When are you back? Are you doing shows? You're not doing shows next week, right?
Well, we won't do show on Tuesday because it's Christmas Day, but we will be back in here on Wednesday and Thursday next week.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Kat.
Okay, thanks. Bye, guys.
You bet. Bye. Kat in Chicago. Here's Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
What's
man?
Good show.
Thank you. So what do you think, Eldridge? What do you think?
With the
apocalypse tomorrow, what's that?
Eldridge made the Dan Heffron Christmas poem.
He did?
He did. There was a line in there about Eldridge.
No way.
There was. I'm dead serious. I'll try to look it up while he's on the phone.
Did you know this, Eldridge?
No, I didn't know that. What's that?
All right. Kevin's going to look it up. He's going to look it up. You were in somebody's Christmas poem.
Yeah, there's a guy, the PFW listener, who puts a poem together.
Okay. Might be one of the jokesters. Okay.
Describing the entire year of PFW in like a Christmas
nice.
Poem.
Nice. That's nice. Eldridge, you should take that as a badge of honor.
I might just do that.
You should. You should. Now, I got to ask you, though, because I figured you, above all, would have to have a choice. With the Mayan calendar ending tomorrow, what's the one sports wish that you have that you didn't get yet?
Well, I wish they had
a big, fast wide receiver for the Patriots.
No, not that. I wish I had went here and went to Clemson, had a four-year scholarship when I graduated high school, but instead I went in the Army.
Thank you for your service.
I got football. I ran 110 high hurdles,
Wow.
40 relay, and a mile relay.
No kidding. Well, yes, like Eric, thank you for your service, but I think that's tremendous. And I can understand why you would want to, you know, at least test the waters a little bit.
Yeah, then see if I could have made it in NFL as either corner or wide out. Because in high school, I played quarterback. Second string in that, but first string corner.
What kind of an offense did you run?
Oh, we ran an I and a veer.
You ran veer. Mm-hmm.
How big are you, Eldridge?
How big I'm?
Yeah.
Not right now.
No, I mean playing wise.
I'm 51 now. So
no, I mean playing.
Playing wise,
I was 5'11", 150, 160.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a veer quarterback to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like an option quarterback to me, because when I played the little that I played quarterback, that's what I did. I ran the wishbone.
You ran the wishbone?
I did.
Yeah, we ran the veer. And I ran the wishbone when I started coaching Little League and try to bring a little bit
in
high school than Gaffney when it
was. Absolutely. I taught football for a couple of years with a bunch of elementary school kids and then to some college-age girls when I was in college, and they had competitive flag football leagues. Mm-hmm. So I taught them the wishbone, and we torched them running the wishbone. torched
it's,
them.
It is a good offense. It is one.
Yeah.
Now, the fantasy sports-wise.
Yeah.
Fantasy. Wish I was New England's personnel director. And get the players that we need instead of sending them value.
Like big, tall, fast receivers.
Wide receivers, yeah.
That'd be the first thing,
right? Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, Eldridge, you ready?
Eldridge, all right, here you go. Listen up.
This was part of the poem. It was, Andy was cut off when talking to a player. The interview was Brandon Lloyd's. Rob Ninkovich told Andy he was bulking up. Is Andy back on roids? No socks came in and led a discussion that lettuce is only good for holding dressing. Please don't try to stop Eldridge from saying Welcher. That would be depressing.
And he just dropped on the line.
He just dropped.
But that was his line. I thought of him earlier when we were reading
this. Wow. How about that? That's good stuff.
I have a customized gift that I was going to give it to him for Eldridge. It's going to be a Patriots authentic 83 jersey.
Welcher.
With W-E-L-C-H-E-R on the back.
It says Welcher on it.
So people will think he's a moocher.
That's right. Exactly.
I love that. That's great. All right. A couple of other quick things here. Mary Beth sends this on Facebook. She says, John, Merry Christmas. Yeah, I really would like that yearbook. So Pats 31, Jags 10, she says.
Okay.
31-10. You know what? I have a sneaking suspicion somebody wins this week. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the Christmas spirit
in
me. I don't know. It's also the end of the world. That is true. It is the end of the world. Tyler says, John, the Mayan calendar ends tomorrow, but my Peanuts calendar ends on December 31st. So are you prepared for the Snoop apocalypse? I like that. I have a fun Patriots Christmas present story. A few years back, I found in the pro shop a Patriots toaster, which toasts the flying Elvis into each piece of bread.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, our circulation manager, I think, has one of those.
That's cool. I want that.
Yeah, it's got the Elvis logo on the bread.
I want that.
Okay.
That's awesome. He says, I showed it to my mom, and she told me she'd get it for me one day as a housewarming present. So Christmas comes around. I'm opening my presents only to find an official Patriots toaster. At first, I laughed at actually owning one. Then I panicked and asked my mom if this was her way of kicking me out of the house. And he says, prediction for the game, 38-20, Patriots.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. William says, Patriots 38-3. Connor, Happy Christmas, John. Thank you for your playbook and all for all those who are politically incorrect in the States. I'm in the Middle East, and yes, we have Christmas here at every advertisement level. Interesting. Thank you, Connor. Appreciate that, and thank you for taking the time.
I believe he's in Dubai.
Yeah, is that where he was coming from?
I think so.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Daryl says, John, lest we forget, the Pats can still capture the number one seed in the AFC.
Yes.
If the Broncos lose one and the Texans drop both, New England will get home field advantage. Prediction is thus, Pats 34, Jags 10. Mm. Christmas wish, to see a Pats-Jets home game while we still have Tom Terrific and Bill Belichick. That's a reasonable Christmas wish, apocalypse wish gift. And he says, best gift, a Patriots hoodie from the pro shop. That's got to be somebody who's employed in the pro shop.
Yeah, a little pro shop.
Selling those wares, right? Okay. All right. Do we have time for our Christmas edition? You know what's coming, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He better.
And here we go.
Oh, no. Hang on. We need to stretch. This is where we
stretch,
stretch in the business.
Oh, wow.
I didn't give you my sports stuff.
Well, you want to? Okay.
Because I have to go to the locker room soon. So
we'll okay. Go. All right. Go ahead. Before he.
All right. Well,
we'll do this first then. The orchestra's
ladies
ready.
And gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather around the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Is it a Christmas edition?
It's an apocalyptic edition.
Apocalyptic edition of Word of the Day.
Yes.
So you're going to go to meet your maker with a little bit more smarts
in
you.
Well, I'm trying to tie it into the discussion
that
we're having with trying to get things done before the end of the world.
Okay.
So the Word of the Day is exigent.
Exigent. I've actually heard this one before.
Exigent. E-X-I-G-E-N-T, which means requiring immediate attention. Necessary to get done.
So, getting your house in order is of an exigent nature.
Yes.
Right.
All these things that we're talking about, these sports-related wishes, are something of an exigent nature.
We're
running out of time.
We are running out of time.
To accomplish them.
All right, and because you're running out of time personally,
I am.
Well, give us your apocalyptic wish.
I originally, when I was a kid, my dream was always to be 6 feet, 200 pounds, be New England's kicker. and to win multiple Super Bowls by kicking the game-winning field goal in the Super Bowl.
So you want Adam Vinatieri on
steroids. Well, I was going to say, my wish came true, but God gave it to the wrong Italian kid.
Gave it to a Vinatieri instead of a Scalavino.
Exactly.
Gotcha. All right.
So my alternate, my dream, my first love was soccer. And my dream was always to, before I became a football player, was to have U.S. national soccer become what it's become now, to the level that it's become competitive. So my dream would be to play for the U.S. in the World Cup final against Italy.
That would be very cool.
Score the winning goal.
Score a hat trick against Italy. And then, of course, Italy would ask you for your Italian heritage back, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
But, yeah, I would love to play in a World Cup final.
Fragile. That would be Italian.
Yes. So that would be my ultimate end of the world wish.
Are you giving or do you know if you're getting any Christmas gifts that have a sports nature to them?
I don't know. I don't ask for gifts.
Really?
I don't ask for anything. No.
I don't either. I really don't.
I don't know what.
But you don't think you're getting anything from anybody?
I doubt it.
Really?
Yeah.
Including family?
Oh, my parents will give me something, I'm sure, but I don't usually ask for
You got
that.
One from me.
I sure did. My Rhode Island radio book. And I treasure it. I got to try to read it before tomorrow, though.
That's right. You wrote a book? Oh, crap. I didn't read it yet. Look, the ground's opening up.
one gift I think might be cool. I don't know if this might be more of the wish list thing than a gift, but to do like a road trip around the country of like, you know, like big college football stadiums and like spend like a season
UK
to a different.
I think you and I are spending way too much time with each other because you just basically took my apocalyptic wish. My apocalyptic wish is to visit the major collegiate venues in this country that I have not been to.
And
I've been to a bunch of them, but I have never been to the Big House in Ann Arbor.
Really?
I've been by it, but I've never been in it for a game.
Yep.
Okay? I've seen it from the outside. I want to be there with 100-some-odd thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville. Again, I've been by it, but I've not been in it for a game.
Yep.
And let's see, what were the other ones that I was talking about? Well, I've been to the Rose Bowl. Oh, boy, have I been to the Rose Bowl. I have to tell you that story.
Oh.
And then, let's see. Those are the two, I think, at the top of my list. I've been to the Horseshoe in Ohio State. Again, I would like to go for a game.
Have you been to Doak Campbell?
I have been to Doak Campbell.
You have?
I have been to Doak Campbell.
Have you seen Chief Osceola?
I have seen him, and I have seen the sights at Doak Campbell, and whoa.
Really?
That's all I can tell you. Just whoa. It's spectacular.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're real, and they're spectacular. Mm. And then where are the other venues that we could probably throw one out?
Happy Valley, Notre Dame.
Penn State. I've been to Notre Dame, you know, with 100. You know, I've been to Penn State with 107,000. So the three big ones that I have not been to for games.
Yeah.
Big House, Neyland. Knoxville, and Neyland in Knoxville, and the Horseshoe.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so those are the biggies. I've actually been to Bryant Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah,
been there. I guess maybe the Iron Bowl to an extent, you know, because I wouldn't mind seeing an Auburn Alabama game. Mm. But I think the other three that I mentioned will probably got to be right at the top of my list. All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Happy holidays.
Thank you, sir.
Merry Christmas.
Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Hopefully we'll see you next week. And if we survive the madness of the next day or two, then we'll see you in here on Wednesday, I would assume, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. All right. We're going to pause here for a timeout. Russell Baxter, pro football guru, is going to join us momentarily. We'll run through the week's schedule of the NFL. But I still want your thoughts on A, number one, if the Mayans are correct and tomorrow is the end of the world, what's the one sports wish you have that you never got the chance to do? That's number one. Or number two, a good and or bad sports gift, one that you've given or received, one or the other. In addition to your predictions on Prediction Thursday, Pats and Jags here in the playbook.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Taranza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
And as we get back at hour number two inside the playbook for a Thursday before the Christmas holiday before the Mayan calendar ends tomorrow. I did want to mention that there are a bunch of tweets going around the NFL, and Russell probably knows this as well as anybody because he stays up on Twitter, that Chuck Pagano, I guess, has been cleared to return to the sidelines for the Indianapolis Colts. And if indeed that is the case, I'm going to assume that's really good news all the way around. Wouldn't you say so, Russell?
Well, there's nothing bad about that whatsoever. They've been an unbelievable story this year. Probably playing for a higher cause more than anything else. John.
Yeah, yeah. There's no question.
You know, it just amazing. Listen, we have seen so many examples of emotion that we often forget about the players in the National Football League. They are professionals, but emotion plays such a big part of the game of football and the game of life, for lack of a better word. And look what the Colts have done this year. And look, you know. Circumstances completely different, but look at how the Chiefs played after the Javon Belcher tragedy.
Right.
Look how the Cowboys played after the Jerry Brown tragedy. I'm not saying that those are the reasons they won the game, but I think sometimes we question, we forget that these guys are human beings under helmets, and they feel the same things we feel. And, you know, if something bad happens with us, you know, we go about our jobs and so do they. But emotion plays such an important part of the game of football and sports in general that sometimes it's channeled in an unbelievable direction.
Yeah. And it's always good when it's channeled for good because, as you well know, and you're not too far away from it yourself, what happened, you know, a little less than a week ago in Newtown, Connecticut, it kind of causes us to stop and do a lot of thinking about who we are and what we really need to be focused on in our lives.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is a game. I understand it's a big business, but it's still a game. And, you know, it's funny. I think sometimes the players have a better perspective on that than the fans and maybe some of the media do as well because, you know, guess what? Someone still has to do their laundry. Someone still has to mow their lawn. Someone still has to do all the things that have to be done. And whether you, you know, have somebody to do it or can't afford to have somebody to do it or do it yourself, but you have family, you have kids, there's so many things that go on. And it's funny, we expect our players to be robots in certain sense because they're not supposed to drop a pass, throw an interception, miss a tackle. Every run should be 99 yards for a touchdown. Every catch should be 99 yards for a touchdown. You know, if everybody played the perfect game on Sunday, every game I think would be 0-0 or 100 or 100. But, you know, we've talked about here, not to get on a soapbox or anything, football is played by human beings and the ball isn't round, so it's pretty simple.
Very true. Well, you know, of course, that with the Mayan calendar allegedly predicting doomsday tomorrow, that we're sort of in a survival mode around here. And by the way, do you have a wish, a sports-related wish, that you did not get a chance to accomplish before apparently we all perish in flames tomorrow?
Well, I wish I would get my column done this week for Bleacher Report now because I'll miss my deadline if it's all over.
Well, it may not matter. It may not matter at all whether you miss your deadline
or not.
Well,
you know, as you well know, I do. See, you just gave me a brilliant idea.
Okay.
Tonight I'm in the process of doing my in the shameless plugs here, best individual matchups for BleacherReport.com.
Okay.
And on Friday, which comes out Saturday morning, I do my bold predictions. Now, if anybody who's read my bold predictions know that I've gotten every game right this year except one.
Really?
Which of course, it's not true, but if you understand the spoof matter of how I do the predictions.
Yes, yes, yes.
That they're done with historic background and they're done a little tongue-in-cheek. And it's amazing some people still get upset about them. But you just nailed it. One of my bold predictions is the world is not going to end. It might be the only one to get right all year.
Well, there'll be a lot of survivalists that will not be happy with you for stepping out on a limb and saying that.
I'm taking the earth and the over.
I like that. Now, that's the bet of the week right there.
There you go.
Earth and over.
Right.
Not bad. All right. Well, then in that theme, in that spirit of survivaling, I'd like to kind of follow along that survivalist attitude for the NFL this weekend because there are a lot of teams involved here that are literally trying to survive and hold on to their playoff chances. And I want to start, however, with the teams that are all 8-6 in the NFC because who only knows what's what's going to happen. The Cowboys are at home against the Saints. You then also have the Redskins playing at the Eagles. Of course, the Redskins at 8-6. And then you've got those New York Giants. And those New York Giants may have the toughest road to hoe of the three, because they got to go on the road and play the 9-5 Baltimore Ravens, who might be in a little survivalist mode themselves.
Yeah, the Ravens wrapped up a playoff spot last week when the Steelers lost, but they have not wrapped up the AFC North. And, you know, it's funny, on the way to 9-2, they're suddenly 9-5. And now, again, just trying to hold on. The last 2 weeks of the season, obviously they get the Giants this week, and then they travel to Cincinnati. And depending what Cincinnati does at Pittsburgh on Sunday, that could be for all the marbles.
Sure.
As far as the AFC North. And, you know, regardless, if you can be a number four seed, you know you're going to get at least one home playoff game. That's, you know, for what home field advantage may or may not still be worth in the NFL when it comes to the postseason. But Baltimore's defense has been a big issue. Defense has been a big issue all year. It continues to be an issue. The pressure is on the offense to do a lot of things. And last week they were just not up to the task. Joe Flacco threw a big pick that got returned 98 yards for a touchdown. Peyton Manning, you want to talk about owning somebody? Peyton Manning has beaten the Baltimore Ravens, including the playoffs, 9 times in a row now.
Wow, that's a pretty good streak.
Yeah, I mean, you usually hear that with Peyton Manning and the Houston Texans. Isn't it funny? Mm-hmm. He didn't beat the Houston Texans this year, but he beat the Baltimore Ravens again.
Right. Beat the Ravens again. What are your thoughts then on how the NFC East are going to play out in terms of which one of those three teams is best equipped to be there standing when this is all said and done?
Well, it's funny because they all have their own traits. I think the Giants' greatest trait is the fact that nobody can figure them out.
Right.
I mean, maybe including themselves. The Cowboys, you know, I kind of like where the Cowboys are headed, and I know they play at Washington next week, obviously they got to get past New Orleans, which will not be easy, obviously. And the Redskins are at Philadelphia. They beat the Eagles soundly a couple of weeks ago. And the funny thing about Dallas, the reason I throw Dallas out is, and this is more of a almost a funny thing, but it's inexplicable. The Cowboys have turned over the ball 25 times this year, John,
mm-hmm.
Which is not an awful total.
Yes.
But when you consider that 19 of the 25 have come at home, and 6 of the rest have all come on the road, why is it the Dallas Cowboys play more efficient football away from their own stadium?
I don't know that I can answer that, other than the fact that maybe they're distracted by the big TV that runs from end zone to end zone.
That is entirely possible. You know, I mean, but there are, as you well know, if you've been there, there's a lot of distractions in that stadium.
Well, there's way too many.
Impossible. I mean, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, they get kind of introduced during the game like the Chicago Bulls used to get introduced.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so on. So there is a lot of hoopla that goes on there. But, listen, this is also a Cowboy team that gets criticized for the way it plays down the stretch. They have won 3 in a row at the right time, you know, but they're with a Redskin team that's lost 1-5 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So the two teams, Washington, Dallas, playing their best football when it counts most. The Giants still 8-6, but coming off a shutout loss to the Atlanta Falcons. I was one of those people who wasn't sure about Atlanta's defense all year. All they did was shut out the defending Super Bowl champions. And how much fun would it actually be, you know, for days of yesteryear, Washington and Dallas to decide the NFC East the final week of the season?
That'd be awesome. That'd be absolutely awesome. I have to admit, as a longtime Cowboy fan, I would love that.
I don't know. I'm not suggesting. Because I don't, off the top of my head, know the prime time count. Seems to me that would be an awful appealing final Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is yet to be determined.
Yeah,
so.
Right. I could see that happening, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I don't
that.
Know the count. I mean, I don't think Washington has gotten to 5 or 6 primetime games this year. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know Dallas played Atlanta on a Sunday night. They played the Giants on a Wednesday night. They played Philly on a Sunday night. I'm just doing this off at the top of my head. I don't know the count right now, but you know there's a limit in terms of primetime appearances. But mm-hmm. Washington, Dallas for the whole NFC East, just like last year, the Giants in Dallas for the NFC East crown in the final Sunday night game.
That's true. That's
we'll
right.
See.
That's very true. All right, here's a survivalist game then in the AFC. Bengals at Steelers. That just sounds like it's a matter of survival, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And especially with what's happened with the Steelers, who look like they had kind of gotten their act together, and now they've lost 4 out of 5. And the Bengals, who were riding a 4-game losing streak not terribly long ago, have won 5 out of 6.
Yep.
Their only loss is the Cowboys, the 1-point loss to the Cowboys on the final play of the game. And, you know, Cincinnati's defense among the league leaders in sacks, I can't remember if they're actually atop the leaderboard right now, hasn't given up a lot of offensive touchdowns. Last week, their defense actually scored a touchdown with Philadelphia. The Steelers have just been so unpredictable. I know they're, you know, it's funny. So many, well, the Steelers have Cincinnati and Cleveland at home to close the season. They'll get this thing done. I don't know if Cincinnati's not playing better than they are right now, because I think the Steelers are a very erratic football team, because it's been a very erratic year for them. And if I had to, you know, pin the tail on the donkey, I think I might be leaning toward Cincinnati, even though the game is in Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah.
Just think the Bengals are due, or that Pittsburgh is just still
too
banged up?
Well, you know what's funny is Pittsburgh loves playing in Cincinnati, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bengals haven't been all that bad playing in Pittsburgh,
right?
Okay? I think they've lost 4 out of 5, but in past years, a couple years ago, they swept the Steelers in 2009 when they won the division.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a long losing streak in Pittsburgh, opposed to their own building where they can't seem to beat the Steelers in their own building.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Now, that's very true. That's a good point. Here's another good survival game, especially from a Minnesota perspective, with the Vikings playing at the Texans. And in this particular instance, you know, Adrian Peterson has a chance to cement himself potentially as the league MVP if he comes away with a good performance. And, of course, it goes without saying, but he's within earshot of Eric Dickerson's NFL single-season rushing record.
Yeah, see, to me, this is almost a matchup between, you know, arguably, I know what the rushing totals are this year, and I'm going to be a little cutesy here, but you have a matchup between arguably the two best running backs in the league with Adrian Peterson.
And Arian Foster?
1,812 yards in 14 games.
Yeah.
Just astounding. You know you're having a good year when you can send out the stat, second 82-yard touchdown run in 3 weeks.
Yeah, no kidding.
Which is what, you know, we've seen. And, you know, not lost in the fact is that the Vikings are 8-6 and right in the playoff mix. Think about, this is a team that won 9 games the past 2 years combined.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's worth noting as well. But I've been having a little fun with this. Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster. What's the difference between Adrian and Arian? The D.
The D. Wow, how about that? That's a good one. That's
and
a good one. I like that.
So.
I like that. Yeah, it's better to be lucky than good, I always say.
Well, I'll take either.
Okay.
So.
That works too.
Right.
So does Minnesota have an opportunity here, and does Houston still have enough to realistically to play for? Because if Houston lost to Minnesota and to Indianapolis, they find themselves without a bye.
Well, I think, listen, we learn all the time, even if you have everything wrapped up. Even in week 17, it is advisable that you have your regulars play some football, because there's a difference between 2 weeks off, which is not great, but helpful,
yeah,
and 3 weeks off. 3 weeks off gets you out of rhythm. So I think until Houston seals the deal and is the number one seed in the conference, I don't expect them to back down. Even with the next week where they play at Indianapolis, a place they have never won. And that's even including last year when Peyton Manning was not the quarterback. I believe Dan Orlovsky started that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Houston still hasn't beaten them in Indianapolis. So Houston's done a good job this year of wiping out a lot of bugaboos. They had never beaten the Ravens. They had never beaten Peyton Manning on the road. They managed to do all these things and accomplish them. And more importantly, we've now seen them bounce back very, very smartly after the only 2 games they lost this year. They blew out the Ravens by 30. And last week, even though the Colts were right in it, they made the plays when they had to, killed the clock. Arian Foster had 165 yards last week, John.
That's a lot of yards, and he has an opportunity to, you know, only average 150, which certainly seems doable, and he perhaps does the unthinkable, and he breaks Eric Dickerson's record.
Well, it would be quite the accomplishment, and I've already thrown out this scenario, and again, I'm jumping all over the map here, but could you imagine – let's say Washington wins, and I'm only doing this off the top of my head. I don't have all the seeds figured out. You know, if South Carolina beats Georgia, and the Pistons beat the Maple Leafs and all that.
Sure.
What would the because we've talked all year on and off about the Colts make the playoffs and Peyton Manning and the Broncos face the Colts and Andrew Luck in the playoffs. I mean, that would be obviously an astounding battle of irony. But could you imagine the irony of if any chance that Minnesota gets a wild card, and they can't be division champion because Green Bay's already won it,
right,
and Washington wins the division and Adrian Peterson goes to play a playoff game in FedEx Field roughly a year after he blew out his knee there.
Yeah, the league loves stories, and I have a feeling that if there's a way that they can, like, manufacture this to happen, it'll happen. You know? I mean, it's just kind of like, Peyton Manning and or Adrian Peterson being, right there in the forefront for the MVP, which it's both deserving, but, we love stories, and these are great stories, and we can't make this stuff up.
The whole comeback thing this year, and I throw Jamal Charles in there as well. I mean, obviously, he's not in the MVP discussion, but as far as comebacks go, I mean, here's a young man that blew out his knee the second week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Detroit, he's near 1,300 yards rushing.
Yeah, right.
Okay?
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how the whole MVP thing pans out. I am not a voter, but if I was going to hazard a guess, because we have seen this in the past,
mm-hmm,
I wouldn't be shocked. Now, I think if Adrian Peterson gets the 2,100, it would be tough for him. Again, for people who don't know, the AP process is 50 voters.
Okay.
So this is not like the Pro Bowl voting online where everybody gets a crack at this.
Right.
But we have seen often when two people have phenomenal years where one gets MVP and one gets Offensive Player of the Year. We saw it last year with Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it in the past with Peyton Manning and Chris Johnson. We've seen it in the past where Kurt Warner got MVP and I think Marshall Faulk got Offensive Player of the Year. So I wouldn't be shocked if we saw something like that. In that regard, because I think how Manning has changed the Broncos offensively, balance-wise, defensively as well. They've been playing pretty good defense. You know, a lot of people like to point at opponents, but I don't care about opponents. Everybody's opponent isn't their opponent, okay? It's the way you play. It's not who you play. I've heard, I'm sure you've heard this all week, Seattle scored 108 points in the last two games. And people's retort to that is, well, they played the Cardinals and the Bills.
Right.
Well, who else has scored 108 points against the Cardinals and the Bills this year? Please let me know.
A good point.
Please let me know.
It wasn't in New England.
It has been done in this league forever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're pointing to the fact that they played the Cardinals and the Bills. Does everybody score 58 and 50 against the Cardinals and the Bills?
No.
I mean, it's news to me. I'll check the final scores, but I guess you could put a twist on anything. But
sure.
It's so astounding that you're going to see MVP and Comeback Player of the Year almost simultaneously with the same people.
Yeah, there's no question. All right, so let's go from that discussion then to where one of those candidates, Peyton Manning, he's at home against the Cleveland Browns. And clearly the Patriots, if they want any shot at finishing above the Broncos in the standings, they have to hope for a Browns upset. I'm inclined to think that between Cleveland this week and Kansas City next week on the Denver schedule that it isn't likely to happen, but of the two, it might be more likely this week.
I agree with you because I think Cleveland plays some defense, and Cleveland's offense. If I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, next year could be a very exciting year because they're going to have a lot of promising second year guys like Brandon Whedon and Trent Richardson and Josh Gordon to go along with some of their other guys who are coming up as well. The future looks rosy. Unfortunately, they're a losing team again. They're 5-9. It's going to be the 12th time in 14 years since they came back in the league that the Browns are going to have a losing record. But at least they look improved on offense. Last week, I give credit to Washington. They really stuck with what they were doing. But that's a tall task. I mean, just if you just go by history alone, the Browns haven't beaten the Broncos since 1991, and that would be the Bill Belichick. I'm sorry, I stand corrected. The winning streak. Denver has beaten Cleveland 9 times in a row. Let me rephrase.
Yes.
Denver's beaten Cleveland 9 times in a row, which mm-hmm. dates back to 1991, and that was Bill Belichick there.
Right.
I think the last time Cleveland beat Denver anywhere was 1990. That was Bud Carson was the head coach, I think.
Mm.
So we're talking an awful long time. And, of course, 9 is the magic number here because the Broncos have won 9 games in a row. And, again, their defense is playing very, very well. Of all the wins in this 9-game stretch of theirs, John, I think the one that impressed me the most was the slugfest of a low-scoring game they played at Kansas City. Because just like the Houston Texans, who had those shootouts that they won and at the same time won a game in the rain and the mud in Chicago, you see a team that plays a different kind of game and finds a way to win. That 17-9 game against Kansas City when, you know, points weren't as easy to come by. When you can win games like that along with the blowout games and the high-scoring games, then you got something going there.
Sure. Sure. I don't really think that Cleveland will do it, but I would certainly give him at least a puncher's chance.
Yeah, listen, I've ruled nothing out. We've seen some astounding things this year.
Yeah.
You know, San Diego never wins in Pittsburgh. We saw Arizona win it at New England.
Yeah, right.
You know, never say never. All it takes is one or two crazy bounces of the ball, and all of a sudden you're scratching your head.
There's no doubt. Let me touch on one more before we get to the Pats game. 49ers playing the Seahawks on Sunday night. And, you know, Seattle all of a sudden seems to be everybody's, you know, chic favorite for actually doing damage in the NFC. And I've seen some even pick them for the Super Bowl now based on what they've done. They are 6-0. Out of their 9-5 overall record, they're 6-0 at home. We clearly know what San Francisco has done this season, certainly last week against New England. But the Seahawks have also had a little bit of success against the Niners. So I think there has to be at least some intrigue here.
Well, I don't disagree. When they played each other earlier this year, it was a Thursday night game. The Niners beat them 13-6.
Right.
I believe Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch ran for over 100 yards in that game. I believe that's the only game that the Niners won this year where an opponent got 100 yards rushing on them. Now, they've lost games where opponents got 100 yards, but they managed to do. Now, since that game, Russell Wilson has been a different quarterback. He got 10 days off after that game. Then their bye week came a few weeks after that, and he's been red hot. And last week, we actually saw him use his legs. He had 3 rushing touchdowns, which were the first rushing touchdowns of the season for him. We already mentioned that 108 points, and we know what a daunting place Seattle is to play. But I will just throw out these 2 very interesting facts about a San Francisco team under Jim Harbaugh that has been excellent on the road in some very, very tough places. This year alone, if you think about this, John, they beat the Packers at Lambeau on opening day, and they beat the Patriots in Foxborough in December.
Pretty good.
That's quite a resume going into a place that arguably is the hardest place to play for a visitor.
Pretty good.
We'll see.
I got to admit, that's a pretty good resume right there. All right, so that brings us full circle then, and I don't know that anybody, I don't think anybody in Patriot Nation is terribly concerned with the 2-12 Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, and I don't mean that to be denigrating. I mean that because you're coming off.
So you're being realistic.
Well, yeah, you're talking about a team that's 2-12. You're talking about a team that has scored not as many points all season as the Patriots have scored, what, in the last 6 weeks? And you're talking about a team that's going somewhere as opposed to a team that isn't going anywhere, with the exception of the possibility of the number one draft pick next April. So how do the Patriots fight complacency? How do they make sure that they put their best professional hard hats on and go to work on Sunday? Because they can't afford to stumble here.
Well, because I think that's what they do every week. And coming off a loss, I think the urgency will be even more attached. You know, I would guess in Bill Belichick's mind right now, his team is 0-0.
Yeah.
So, and that number you pointed out, New England has scored 318 points the last 8 games. That's 99 more than the Jaguars have scored this year, which is 219.
Mm.
So, you know, they're very challenged offensively. Now, they also don't have one of the best running backs in the league and haven't had him most of the year. Chad Henne has done okay, but he seems like he's progressively struggling week after week after some promising moments in his first couple of games of action this year. The big thing about Jacksonville, though, has just been, at the very least, you thought they would play some pretty good defense this year, and their defense is no one was stunned that Jacksonville would struggle to score some points. Although Blaine Gabbert was not too bad, I thought he had a pretty decent sophomore season after the struggles of his rookie year.
Right.
But defensively, Jacksonville has fallen off the map this year. I mean, mm-hmm. They were a top 10 defense this year. Last year, and you haven't seen it at all. Absolutely not seen it at all. And besides, it's Jacksonville. Patriots know something about winning big games at Jacksonville.
They do.
They've done okay there.
They do.
The oddest stat of this week is the fact that the Pats have only ever lost to Jacksonville once in the playoffs. They're 8-0 against them.
Overall.
In the regular season.
In the regular season, correct.
Yeah. So, and I would expect it to be 9-0, and I expect Tom Brady to throw a touchdown pass in his 47th straight game, which would tie the old record of Johnny Unitas, but not good enough to have the new record, which is owned by Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
But I think New England marches on. They put last week behind them. Lesson learned. One of the most peculiar games I've ever seen. Again, I don't think you ever worry about New England gets beat. They don't often lay eggs, okay?
Yeah.
And I think the way Jacksonville is playing, by the way, if the Jaguars lose this game, they'll set a franchise record for losses in a season. The only other time they've lost 12 games was their debut year in 1995.
Wow.
So, I have a tough time thinking that Jacksonville has any kind of firepower to keep up with New England, even if New England. And the one thing is, you'll see the Patriots run the ball. Jacksonville's run defense has been substandard this year. It's been a really disappointing season. You would think that one side of the ball looked like it was fixed, and as it turned out, neither side of the ball is fixed there.
It doesn't appear to be the case. I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holiday to you and your family. And provided we all survive apocalypse tomorrow, I will look forward to visiting with you next Thursday.
See, now I have to go watch Apocalypse Now.
I like to watch the apocalypse shows on the History Channel. Those are my favorites.
Then I'm ready for the sequel.
Right, that's right.
Okay. By the way, since you've been alive, how many times has the world ended?
Oh, half a dozen or more, at least.
Right. See, you know what? I think I might send out an over and under. What has happened more often? The world has ended, or Tom Coughlin's been fired by the Giants?
Oh, ba-dum-tsh. I like it. I am going to steal your line, though. I'm going to take Earth and over.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give you credit. Love that. Russell, Merry Christmas to you.
Well, to everybody there, Merry Christmas. And thanks, John. And I will talk to you next week.
You got it, sir. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, BleacherReport.com, Cold Hard Football Facts. .com. He's a part of it all, and he's a regular in the playbook each and every Thursday here on the show. You want to sneak in a timeout? Do we need to? Yeah, let's sneak one in. And then I got a ton of emails I want to read. Our question of the day has to do with the Mayan calendar allegedly ending tomorrow. Well, it is ending tomorrow, but with the end of the world allegedly happening tomorrow. What is the one sports thing that you've wished that you could have done that you didn't get done before the end of the earth? And if you got a nice Christmas gift or a bad Christmas gift suggestion, one that you've given or received, fire them off. And then, hey, it's Prediction Thursday. We still have a yearbook or two or seven that we'd like to give away. You got to predict the score. Right here, webradio at patriots.com, ace ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, john.rook on Facebook, at JR Broadcaster, Twitter, and go now.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Somewhere you can see, somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
One of my favorite Christmas time songs, Burl Ives. Yeah.
From the actual Rudolph.
From the Rudolph, that's right. The very original, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. To me, there's two significant voices to the Christmas holiday that you have to hear from. You have to hear Burl Ives, and you have to hear Andy Williams. And we've done that in this very program today. You know who the other one is, Kev? And I don't know if you can get him in time before we're done with the show.
Who?
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you'll find it. We actually had the gentleman, and I have to admit, I'm going to commit a huge faux pas here. His name is on the tip of my tongue. He's not as well known as many might think. He's got one of the more incredible voices. And a few years ago, when I was doing a local talk show in Providence with my buddy Steve Hyder, we had this guy on the air during Christmas time, and he didn't want to do it, but we sort of badgered him into singing "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch," and it was the most incredible thing I've ever heard in my entire life. So I'm going to let Kevin work on that for a moment. In the meantime, I got a lot of... Oh, here we go.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch.
Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
I love garlic.
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
All right, that's good stuff. The guy's name, gentleman's name is Thurl Ravenscroft. Thurl Ravenscroft. And if the voice sounds familiar.
Sounds like James Earl Jones a little.
A little, doesn't he? Yeah. Well, it should be familiar because he's also, Mr. Ravenscroft, was also the voice of Tony the Tiger in the Kellogg's Frosted Flakes commercials. Very familiar voice, right? I just couldn't think of it, so I had to double-check it. And yes, Mr. Thurl Ravenscroft. He passed away not too many years ago, just a couple of years ago, in fact, I believe. But when I was doing that local talk show back in the mid-2000s, we had him on the air, and he really told us beforehand, I don't want to sing on the air. I know you guys are going to ask me, and I don't want to do it. So we had him on the show anyway, and then we sort of talked about it, and then he decided to give us a few bars. So I just, you know, to me, it just isn't Christmas unless you hear Mr. Ravenscroft and the great Andy Williams and Burl Ives singing Christmas tunes. So I just wanted to pass that along. All right, Shane says, 38-13 New England. Wish would be for the Pats to beat the Giants in the Super Bowl when the game is in Giants Stadium in front of their home team fans. Yeah, I'm bitter. By the way, winning by some ridiculous catch would make it even sweeter. That's a pretty good one, actually, Shane. I kind of like that. Steve says, John, a very Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too, Kevin, he says. My score prediction is 45-0. My apocalypse wish is that I had gone to Gillette to watch the Patriots play. Too rich for my blood right now to make that happen. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Steve. And by the way, Mary Beth says, Kevin rocks. You have a fan. You have a van, Kev. You have a large fan.
I have a one fan.
You have one fan. Kevin rocks. Because you're playing.
Are you calling Mary Beth large?
No.
I mean,
come on. I said you have
now.
A large fan.
Come on now.
I happen to know she's not. She looks great in her picture. So
come on, Rook.
No, she's a Syracuse fan, and I forgive her for that. But other than that, you know, she is as diehard a Pats fan as I've seen, you know, as part of this show for the last several years. Brian says, as you requested, I resent the query I posed yesterday. I'm not sure that's the word he's looking for. I highly doubt that the team has the capacity currently to alter oxygen levels. Oh, I remember now. We're talking about raising and lowering oxygen levels to get them prepared for the Broncos inside, you know, the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse here in Foxborough. He was saying, however, I was saying that it might be worth some thought to increase the technology behind the bubble so those environments could be simulated on a permanent basis during practice. Given the fewer practices allowed by the CBA, this might also help increase the efficacy of practices on their physique and cardio, etc. Okay, I'll buy that. He says, we know that the Pats can control the environment inside the bubble with ease. However, we know how much you can improve your cardio playing, practicing in Denver. Do you think the Pats should attempt to increase the tech behind the bubble to reflect the oxygen level? Hey, anything you can do, Brian, anything you can do to help prepare you for what's to come, I'm all for. And in this day and age of technology, I see no reason why you shouldn't, if the technology exists, I see no reason why you shouldn't try to take advantage of it. Roberto says on Prediction Thursday, Patriots 24, Jaguars 12. He's got a little bit closer score than the spread would indicate. The spread's 14.5. John from Belgium. Guys, I was wondering why there's so much talk about the Patriots being the number 3 seed. Denver has 3 losses. We lost Arizona, Seattle, San Francisco, and that's it, right, Fred? Following that reasoning, we have the tiebreaker over Denver, so I'm just waiting for the league to correct this mistake. That's pretty good. No, really, I agree we have an excellent chance of making it to the Super Bowl, but no bye makes the road to it that much harder. And I haven't seen the 49ers game. I have to sleep at night, so sue me. But I would think our offense would have struggled a lot less with Gronk on the field. You are correct. Thank you, John in Belgium. Let's see. Brian sends this from Essex, Vermont. He says, to be quite honest, I'm embarrassed to admit it. I would have loved to have seen a Patriots game in Foxborough before I died. I've simply never had the expendable income at the time to be able to swing it. Maybe someday, provided the world doesn't end. Hopefully, Brian, that will happen for you. Josh in Charlottesville says, John, once again, I don't have much time to discuss anything due to us trying to get all the business taken care of before the long weekend, so I'll make it quick. Should the world not end, and we do get to see the game on Sunday, I'm picking the Patriots to win at 35-10. By the way, the end of the Mayan calendar doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world, but what the Mayans saw as the coming of their god or a new age. So draw from that what you will. Also, we do not know for this, for sure, if this is in fact the last part of the calendar, as we have discovered other pieces before and some recently, but whatever, it's a hell of a reason to party, and happy holidays to you and yours. I totally agree, Josh. Thank you. We're kind of just playing along with the Mayan end of the calendar that it says 12-21-12. Everybody talking about that being the apocalyptic day or whatever. Noel says, John, you acknowledged yesterday that Denver has pretty much fair weather fans. My wish is that the Patriots win two more Super Bowls and put to rest the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning debate. I really don't understand the resentment towards Brady. Weak guys and gals don't like Brady. Very jealous. Brady is a man's man. I don't get all the excitement about the Broncos and their winning streak, which consists of teams with combined records of 36-62, excluding a banged-up Ravens team. Their three losses are against teams with a 33-8 record. Good point, Noel. And he says, Patriots 38 to Jacksonville 10. If Brady doesn't get MVP, Adrian should. I have three quick questions. If Tom wins one more Super Bowl, does he go down as the greatest of all time? He might, and I realize that's a cop-out. I will say no, but if he wins two more all-time, he will. How's that for you, Noel? Will Wes get signed to a longer-term contract? Well, right now I'm going to say no. Although Eric Scalavino says he thinks the Patriots might be willing to pull the franchise tag on him one more time, and he said that about a week ago, so we'll see. He says, Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time, but when will Bill finally get someone who can put pressure on the opposing QB? Jared Allen or someone like him. They have him already, and his name's Chandler Jones. Let's give him a chance. He says, we lost two Super Bowls to a middle-of-the-road quarterback because of a lack of a pass rush. And by the way, Cleveland finally finishes a game. All right, well, we'll see about that one. Next up, I think this is simply a ridiculous topic, shows a clear problem with how the MVP award is voted upon and defined. The Broncos made it to the second round last year. We expect Manning to perform at a high level, just like Brady, so it's ridiculous to hold Brady to a higher standard. My argument for Brady coming away better looking last week is that Brady had not Brady been put on his team's shoulders or put the team on his shoulders, they would have gotten murdered by the 49ers. Absolutely, without a doubt. You don't orchestrate a 28-point swing in 11 minutes by being a weak quarterback. This farcical discussion of how Manning has turned around the Broncos is quite honestly insulting to what Brady does, not to mention what the Broncos did last year. Getting to the second round with Tebow? Come on. Tells you how good that team was last year and, quite honestly, takes away from Manning's accomplishments this year. That's actually a good point. Thank you for that, Brian. best sports present, he says, I'll one-up you, John. Instead of just the butt-fumble jersey, how about a Sanchez-signed butt-fumble jersey? Now, that would be a sports gift and a half. Hey, John, has anyone asked Tim Tebow when the end of the world is coming? After living through that fiasco in Denver last year, and now that Manning is the Pied Piper that's going to take the Broncos to the promised land, as a former New Englander living in Denver, these fans are not very bright. The thin air is even getting to Tom Nalen, who grew up in Foxborough and then said on his radio show that he lost his accent so he wouldn't sound stupid. He actually said when he went back to visit family, everyone who talked that way sounded stupid. No, no, no. Tim Tebow is more interested in his political future than football. We were talking about would Tebow make a Patriot. Football is a platform to catapult him and his right-wing conservative agenda. Enough is enough. Now that he's exposed himself to New York in an effort to boost his agenda, he might go to Jacksonville. Other than Tom Brady and the Patriots winning two more Super Bowls, never make Tim Tebow a Patriot. No football fan should ever want him. Too much of a distraction where he goes.
Hey, Tom Nalen. Stupid.
I know. Can you believe that? Tom Nalen turning his back on New England and Boston College, I might add. Come on.
If I saw him in a bar, I might fight him.
Wow.
After that.
Kevin.
You got my blood boiling right there.
Kevin.
I don't care how big he is.
I had heard rumors that he had said that on a show, but
I never got it substantiated. Where you're from and the place that made you who you are and let you have such a great career in the NFL and also make all that money.
Yeah.
Go yourself.
Jeff from Alberta. Huge Pats fan here. One sports thing I would love to see would be see the Patriots win a Super Bowl live. considering the one Patriots game I've seen live was the fourth and two game in Indy. Even just seeing a Pats win live would be nice, though. And prediction for Thursday, Patriots 45, Jags 13. They'll be ready to come out and just destroy someone after Sunday night, even if it is only the Jags. Thank you, Jeff. John, my one wish would be to see the Pats play at Gillette. My number two dream would be to attend the Patriots Patriots winning a Super Bowl. I lived in California for 26 years and 11 in the Denver area, and thank God for DirecTV. My best gift would be a Patriot head cover. Pats 38, Jacksonville 10. Luis in Chicago says, Rook, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, hopefully. Wink, wink. Thank you, Luis. The best sports wish ever would be the Cubs winning the World Series or Asante Samuel intercepting Eli in Super Bowl 42 for the 19-0. Yeah, I was wondering if someone was going to go back to do the fantasy thing, and Luis, I guess, finally did that. I'd go back and change time and make Asante intercept Eli, and you finish 19-0 in Super 42. That's a good one, Luis, a very good one. Thank you for that. Oh, here we go. What is this? I don't know if this is actually, I guess this must be a piece of spam. Look at this, Kevin. It's from Earth. It's
gotta be spam.
And it says the subject, it's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
By the way, just before we get too late here, since we're wrapping up, you do have a phone call.
I do?
Yeah. I just want to let you know that.
Oh.
It's my duty to let you know.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Steve and Colleen, forgive me. You're in the playbook.
No problem, John. First of all, I just love the Christmas picks with, Ward Karloff, and of course our fine friend who did the voice of Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I said my picks. I give Jacksonville 12, the Patriots about 38.
38-12, all right.
And because it's the end of the world tomorrow, and the weather in Boston is such as it is, the three briskets that were on their way have been misrouted.
Oh, come on! No! No!
Here's the upside, John. I have found out that I can get them to you guys overnight. So when you guys return, I'm going to make sure that happens where they're committing.
Okay.
Steve. It's allocated and on the books, my friend. So unfortunately, you won't have it for Christmas. But, you know, hey, I'm country enough to do champagne and brisket any day.
Hey, listen, I'm okay with it, brother. I am totally okay with it. And I will look forward to it should we survive tomorrow. And that's muchly appreciated. That's a very nice gesture on your part, and I know everybody here is going to be thrilled.
Yeah, just make sure. I am going to send three, and Fred does not get a whole one to himself.
Okay.
Let him know.
we'll make certain that happens. Trust me. Well, Andy will take care of that, and then Paul will be lined up right behind him. Trust me.
All right, now I'm going to be shipping them off to Kevin as I did the hot sauce, and you guys are back in-house on, what, the 27th?
Actually, next Wednesday. So the day after Christmas, we can reconvene. We'll be talking about Pats and Dolphins. We've been talking about surviving the apocalypse, and hopefully no nitpicks from this Sunday.
Okay, well, I will definitely try and work out either Wednesday or Thursday following the holiday if we're all still here.
Sounds like a plan, my man.
All right, have a very Merry Christmas, John.
Happy holidays to you too, Steve. Thank you very much. That's our friend Steve and Colleen, and we'll wrap up the show right there. Thusly so, and I think it's probably a very, very good idea that we do that. I can't believe I got an email from Planet Earth here. My goodness. Steven says, New England 38, Jacksonville 9. That's him. So he did send that. I kid you not, there's an email here from Earth, and the subject is, it's the end of the world as we know it.
I like it.
That's no
lie. It's a good song.
It's no lie. But you do like this song, right?
It's a great song.
Yeah. Thurl Ravenscroft is the gentleman's name.
I might have to close Todd and Bill's show out next with It's the End of the World. Since it's probably the last show ever on Patriots.com radio.
You need to forward them the email that I just got from Planet Earth.
I'll have to get on that.
Wow.
The Earth is upset.
Earth is upset. All right, folks. Goes without saying, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Except for you, Tom Nalen. Screw you.
Says Kevin Collins. I hope that you get a chance to spend time with friends, family, loved ones. I hope it's a great holiday. I hope that you're able to put away any sort of grinchiness to where you can enjoy a day or two. Enjoy the football this weekend as well. We will reconvene next week, the good Lord willing. In the playbook next Wednesday.
You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk.
Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.